Part 14, Chapter 7. Badly shaken and feeling very ill, Johnny tried to control the plane. There was a thin spot in the storm. It was extremely hard to think. If he shut off the left balance motor, maybe the stricken ship would stop rolling. He managed it. Then he realized the guns must still be firing. He got a wad of blanket out of his vision and reached up to push the firing button off. And as he did, he saw it. The drone. Almost straight at him, it was tumbling out of the sky. Spent flames were licking out of the doorway, and a vast plume of smoke was trailing behind it. It was going to hit him if he didn't move. His hands hit the console. He felt the plane move. The drone went by so close, the plane tumbled again in the air rush. Abruptly, a geyser of water smashed upward into the storm, a column 200 feet high. The battle plane spun about under the new impact. Water? Water! Johnny felt a surge of relief. They were not yet over Scotland, still over the sea. Water! He would hit it. He knew that pressure outside the doors would keep him from opening them. This battle plane would never float. He brought a fist down on the window openers, both of them. He looked at the console. What could he press to arrest his own descent? The battle plane crashed into the sea. The jolt threw him back into unconsciousness. But in a moment, a wave of the coldest water he had ever felt rushed in on him, revived him. Bitterly cold water, colder than ice to the touch. And it was hitting him in a roaring torrent from both sides. He fought with the huge 10-pound cyclone belt release. Everything seemed to be moving in slow motion. He unwound the belt from himself. The water was getting darker. The battle plane must be sinking very rapidly. Or he was passing out once more. The incoming rush eased. At least the plane was no longer spinning, he thought, vacantly. A sudden surge of energy. He got to his knees on the seat and thrust a floating blanket out of his way. The futility of it struck him. There was nobody to save him. He couldn't live in water this cold. More by reflex than by intention, he went out the window and began to rise to the surface. His air mask tanks were lifting him. Water was getting in the air mask, washing dried blood off the inside glass. The sea became lighter and lighter green. Then, a spatter of rain hit his head. Rain. It was welcome. The sea about him, as he floated face up, was a panorama of tossing, overwhelming waves, pockmarked with the rain. A wild scene. The cold was getting to the very center of his being. He knew he was going into a delusion again. As the waves covered and uncovered his ears, he thought he heard a voice. They said dying men often heard angel voices calling them. He knew he was very close to death. More delusion. Hopeful thinking giving rise to false sights. It was what he would have dearly loved to see, not what was. But the water-blurred vision stayed there. Something hit him in the face mask. A line? He became more alert. It looked like Dunaldin on a cable ladder, not 4 feet away. A Dunaldin who was being submerged and uncovered by the waves. Johnny felt his arms being guided into safety line loops. Tension was being taken up on the line. His ears came free of the water, and he could hear. It was Dunaldin. A Dunaldin who was smiling even though he was being doused repeatedly as the waves rolled past the cable ladder.
Come on now, laddie!
Dunaldin said.
Just hold on and they'll pull you up to the plane. 'Tis a wee bit cold for a swim.
End of CD 18.